I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ben Standing's with us, as he is every Friday and Monday at 12 noon. He's calling in from Los Angeles, where the team will practice today for the final time in preparation for the Chargers on Sunday. A 4:25 kickoff in SoFi. By the way, did you go to the game last night since you were out there or not?
No, I can only have so much SoFi Stadium in my life in one trip. But no, I did watch the end of it, but I did not go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're out in L.A. You've got, time to enjoy it. Why go to a football game? I know a lot of people that would be number one on their list. Go to a baseball game, go to a football game. That's further down my list, and I think it is for you as well. All right, let's get to it. They're injured, really injured. What do you think the possibilities are that they're going to play Sunday without Debo in addition to no Terry and no Noah Brown?
Look, I mean, obviously, didn't practice the last 2 days, so something is amiss, something is afoot. But, this is just sort of guessing, but I'm going to guess that he goes. Sounds like he was, out there yesterday working on the signed field. And, look, I think in his case, perhaps one, we know about, he's had some injury history throughout his career. Two, last week they took him off kick returns and just played him at receiver, knowing that they were already out Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown. And so three, I imagine that at this point, if there's, anything going on, he obviously has shown a pretty good connection with the quarterbacks. Just let it, rest up, do whatever you got to do, and then get ready for Sunday. So that's my guess right now. But obviously, I don't know. I mean, it's already crazy enough that they're playing without Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, considering the depth issues that we've talked all year. I can't even contemplate a world where Debo's also out.
Cliff said yesterday that we didn't want to put him out there, Jaden, that is, until he could be Jaden, and that's what he's going to be, and that's how he's going to play on Sunday. Can he be that with a knee brace? Have you talked to anybody? I'm just curious about what it would look like and whether or not it would be limiting if he has to wear a knee brace.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there can be some sort of, issue there. I mean, just from the pure standpoint of, you're having this contraption on your body, and it'd be one thing maybe if he was just a pure pocket passer. Obviously, that's not the case. So, he's the one that it matters to the most. And, the last couple of weeks when the topic has come up, he definitely, sounded like me, like 8 years old, when my mom said, you got to eat your broccoli. God, really? I don't want to do this. But it is what it is. He's going to have to, if the doctors say you got to do it to play, then they'll have to do it. So I imagine there will be some concern, or not concern, but some limitations. But we'll see. I mean, I guess the weird thing is, the last game we saw him was the Green Bay game, where before the injury, he was just completely, hemmed in by the Packers the whole game, which is very odd to see. So that having that memory and now discussing the possibility that he might be a little bit limited if he has to wear this knee brace, Yeah, it's almost like we're discussing a quarterback that I don't even know. But, you know, it is what it is. If he's going to play, then the doctor said to do it, you got to do it.
Bates is back. That's good news. Do you think against a team that has shown a lot of, you know, too high nickel, you know, extra DBs on first and second down, inviting teams to try to run the football, do you think Cliff will take the invitation this week and do it?
I mean, you would think so. It's been, you know, it feels like it's been as uneven as, like, the season has been overall. I feel like that's how it's been with the emphasis on the run game. Last week, I mean, the overall split between runs and passes wasn't really that dramatic, but it felt like the run game was, like, definitely, you know, missing at times. So you would think that, especially with Jaden coming back, you know, take some pressure off of him, and the fact that, look, they're number two in the league in rush yards per game, despite ranking, you know, middle right of the pack in attempts, you would think you'd want to try to lean into that. And yeah, the Chargers play a lot of nickel and dime packages, and, you know, that means you're going to have smaller guys on the field. It has not mattered too much for them so far in terms of giving up yards. They're their top four in the league in yards allowed and points allowed. So they've done a really good job no matter what they do, but you would think logically that they would. And, you know, look, even if, let's assume Debo still plays, you're down, you know, these playmakers. And where's your playmaking coming from? Last time I checked, Bill is averaging, you know, over 5 yards a carry.
Almost six, 5.9 yards per carry. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And Chris Rodriguez is up there, you know.
Yeah.
So it just seems like purely in terms of where are we going to be able to get some bigger plays, that seems as likely, if not more logical, than the other spots. So I would think you'd try to find ways to lean in and into the run game, and the Chargers are kind of daring you to do it.
Yeah. Let's see if they do that on Sunday. I mean, there's always the possibility that really, with the receivers you're putting out here, no, we're going to load the box and see if you can beat us with your arm with those receivers. We're talking, of course, to Ben Standig, at Ben Standig on X, on Twitter. Last Man Standig is the podcast and also the Substack column in which I am a subscriber, and I would urge you to do the same. Ben writes pretty much every day covering this football team. You know, the defense obviously got the bulk of the conversation and the criticism following the loss in Atlanta. And, you know, I listened to Joe Witt's press conference the other day. I'm just curious as to what your reaction was to his answers, to the way he answered the questions. Did you think that, was there anything that left an impression with you?
Well, I mean, look, yeah, in terms of, like, what went wrong against Atlanta, he talked about the same things that we've all talked about, you know, the missed tackling. He gave a little more explanation as to, you know, guys were maybe going for a little too much. He said on the Bijan Robinson 14-yard touchdown run that there was somebody that kind of went for the strip rather than going to take the guy down. And when it didn't happen, that just led to, you know, chaos. And Bijan got in there, and it looked like to me on the game tape that it was like Jeremy Reeves who got there first and went for the
right,
went for the strip. And you know, then he talked about, you know, miscommunication pre and post snap, you know, and where that led to some issues. He pointed specifically to the third down, the first third down of the game for Atlanta. Kyle Pitts, again, kind of looked like Jeremy Reeves, jumped up to make the play where to cover Drake London coming in motion, except you had Lattimore over there, and then you had Frankie Louvu sort of dropping back to take a little that part of the field, and then all of a sudden Pitts goes deep. So we talked about those elements. I think he was pretty specific about what plays and what happened. And, you know, again, if you just have access to the All-22, like the public does these days, you can kind of see what was going on. So I think it's interesting that he was willing to be that sort of forthright in terms of what happened. But on the other hand, we want candor and honesty from the people that we talk to. So I don't have an issue with him saying anything. And the reality is we all saw it. I mean, they were pretty, pretty poor. And despite all the injuries primarily affecting the offense, it's the defense that is back to being the real question here, because, you know, in two of the games, they've looked like more like the group from last year that we knew just wasn't up to snuff. And, you know, what is it? And the story I wrote today on my Substack is basically how the game is the Commanders and Chargers, but the reality is it feels like it's perception versus reality, because if you lose this game and the defense doesn't live up, you know, doesn't look improved, then, you know, where are we with this group? Same thing with the offense. I mean, Jaden has been out, obviously, the last couple of games with injury, but the Green Bay game, you know, they didn't look good before the injury. They haven't looked as sharp as they did last year when Jaden's been out there. So, like, if you go out and lose this game, where are they at? Like, what is this team? And I think the defense in particular, again, with the offense, people injured, Jaden just coming back, we can maybe give a little bit of a pass. But the defense has got to step up. And, you know, they can't look like they did against Green Bay and Atlanta. And the schedule's only getting harder. I mean, you know, there's no poor quarterbacks that they're going to be dealing with, you know, for most of the rest of the way. So they're really going to have to figure out how to do this. And, yeah, that's what I say. I think the defense, whatever you think of what Joe Witt was saying, I do think there was some urgency there, and there needs to be.
Yeah, you're right. The answers were rather detailed. That's for sure. I mean, the answers were multiple minutes, each of them. And the one thing that I just noted is, you know, basically, you're right. We got a lot of candor from him about how the players messed everything up on Sunday and didn't do essentially what they were coached to do. So that can last for a little bit, but that can't last forever because eventually, if they're not doing what you're telling them to do, they got to find somebody else that can communicate it better. I'm not suggesting that's where it's headed. I just thought it was interesting. I went back after the show yesterday and listened to the whole thing, and I find him very candid and going through everything in detail to really help everybody understand. But at the end of the day, it was, in his opinion, the players who screwed up. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I mean, the two plays he cited, I think you go back and look, I think he's right.
Well, there's obviously a lot of capes talk. Like, we got to stop putting on the capes.
Yeah.
And trying to be heroes.
Yeah, and he said, like, Frankie Louvu was the only player who
played well.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like,
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, typically that's not the best way to handle it publicly. Because if you get that week in and week out where it's always the players after a bad performance, that grows old. We'll see. It's 1 week. We can move on from that. All right. Let's move on, because I'm wondering if you think, you know, based on what you've watched and based on people you've talked to, if there is, you know, a confidence in a solution. Like, even Quinn and even Witt Jr., they referred to the two games in which they played well, almost ignoring the fact that neither one of those two teams was very good, the Giants or the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was after the Raiders game, I was talking to Javon Kinlaw, and I was like, you know, if I ask you, you guys have had a couple of uneven games here, if I ask you which is the reality, you're going to tell me it's the Raiders game versus, say, the Green Bay game. I get that, but, like, why, you know, like, what's the real confidence level that that's the case? And he was like, hey, you know, we did it. You know, we were pretty dominant in doing it. We know we have the talent. And I think that's just how professional athletes are to a degree. They obviously just, you know, you have to have blinders on, tunnel vision, be confident, focus on, you know, what's positive, but also what do you need to do to be good. And if you don't, you know, if you've seen the talent, you've seen the success, the opponent to a degree doesn't quite matter. That's if you're wearing all the blinders. Sometimes, though, you do get them, you know, you do get people who understand, you know, what's going on. And I think there was some recognition of the of the players and the staff that, you know, what happened against Atlanta felt a little too similar to what happened against Green Bay. And even if you think that the two other games were really good, that's hard to, you know, it's hard to ignore. And, you know, look, I mean, they've had some injuries, no doubt, but not compared to what the offense has been missing. You know, they've had the margin of error injuries that unfortunately teams suffered, not missing
Will Harris being number one. But
not missing your starting quarterback, your number one receiver, the other receiver, and all these things. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have to find a way. But, of course, and I think it's also, you know, as we've discussed, you know, the, you know, is Marshon Lattimore getting picked on, or are they not using him in ways that make the most sense if you're going to have a Marshon Lattimore? Is Bobby Wagner, you know, making great plays 90-something percent of the time, but when the other team is able to, you know, put him in a bad spot, you're like, oh, boy, this is not going to be – this isn't going to go well, and there's no way to really fix that, right? I mean, so it feels like that to me is like where they're at a little bit at the crossroads. There's reason to be hopeful and optimistic, but, man, the way the mistakes are kind of happening, you know, like you said before, you know, if the message isn't getting through, how do you fix it? And that's what I think they're – again, that's to me why I wrote – like, I think this is a – perception versus reality game. They go out there and win. Whatever happens, they win. You know, on Monday, you and I aren't discussing the negatives. We're saying, okay, 3-2.
Well, we could be. You know. We could be if it's, you know, 38-37 and the defense couldn't get off the field. But we'll take that. You know, we'll take it and run with it. I've got one more on the defense, and that is this. What are the chances, you give me the percent chance that on Sunday before the game we get surprised like we did against the Raiders with somebody being inactive or somebody being benched? We had the Brandon Coleman and the Allegretti, you know, day before the Raiders game. What's the chances we get that with personnel on defense Sunday?
I don't know. It feels pretty small. Like, I don't, you know, again, we're saying there's more injuries happening on the other side of the ball, but, you know, they've now lost two defensive ends, so they're pretty thin. They're not thin, but, like, you know, they're losing the margin of error from a depth perspective there, so I don't think there's much they can do. I think the defensive tackles, by and large, have been fine. They just need Payne, in particular, to be more, you know, much more present in the game, you know, much more consistent. Linebackers, again, we can discuss, should they make some sort of a change in passing down situations? To what? Like, there's no, you know, Jordan McGee has barely played this year, and I don't think that's because they feel compelled to have to keep Bobby Wagner on the field. I think it's because he's not shown, there's not enough trust in him to play. And then you look at the corner situation again. Like, I don't know, you know, where would you go? You can fetch about Marshon Lattimore all you want, but, like, you know, and look, I don't think it's all on him as much as maybe some people do, but, like, where else would you go anyway? And, like, I guess the one thing, if you say it's safety, is, like, you know, if Percy Butler could get back somehow, you know, could you maybe play him more instead of Jeremy Reeves at safety? Maybe, but, you know, Jeremy Reeves is the backup already, so that to me wouldn't be notable. So I don't really know what I would even think that the move would be defensively. Again, maybe somebody plays more or less than they had, but I can't see what the inactive would be.
All right. Inactive, no. Could I see a scenario in which on 2nd and 12 and 3rd and 12 they actually take Wagner off the field? Maybe it's not Jordan McGee. Maybe it's another DB. Could I envision Lattimore being benched, Sanders still moving outside, Noah I being the nickel corner? You know, these are the kinds of things that I think, you know, if I saw that Sunday, I wouldn't be shocked, because this coaching group, they've already proven, at least on the offensive side of the ball, if they don't like something, they'll make a change. And there was a lot not to like last week, but maybe, you know, they believe that they can fix things this week. We'll see. Talking to Ben Standing, of course. All right, let me get your, you know, how do they win Sunday preview.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, for all the lamenting we're doing about them, you know, the Chargers are going to be without, you know, they're two tests. Starting offensive tackles from the beginning of the year. Presume Joe Alt, I don't think he's been officially ruled out, but it sounds like he's not going to play with a high ankle sprain. And right. Justin Herbert's been getting pressured almost on half of his dropbacks the last couple of weeks. So, you know, even if the Chargers are not, from an overall team perspective, are not going to be viewed as the Giants or the Raiders, from an offensive line perspective, they may very well be in that category. And this is where, if the defense is going to show what it can do, this is a great opportunity to get after this guy. And obviously Justin Herbert is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, he's been making plays on the perimeter with Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnson at receiver. These are two like power forward type receivers, the type of guys that, just to go back to Lattimore, the Lattimore has had issues with in his time with Washington. So, you know, if you let Herbert find those guys down the field, based on what we've seen so far, that's going to be a long day. They haven't really gotten Ladd McConkey involved yet this year out of the slot. He was just a massive weapon for them. And then, you know, they've got a rookie running back in Marion Hampton. You know, he's had some good moments, but, you know, again, you gotta keep him penned in. I think the Chargers defense has been really, really good this year. The potential advantage, as we discussed, is the fact that they play a lot of nickel and dime. So Maybe this is where you lean into the run. But, you know, I don't think this is going to be a game where you can just say, hey, the offense is going to go out there and roll. Again, especially since we just haven't seen Jaden for the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think they've got to get after Herbert. If Herbert has time the way Penix did last week, which we would have thought, okay, get Penix off his spot, don't give him no rhythm, that's a problem. I mean, Herbert, really, really good no matter what's going to happen, but that's, I think, the way they're going to have to win this game is pressure Herbert so that Chargers offense isn't able to dictate things, because I think their defense is going to be able to, you know, keep Washington somewhat in check.
All right, so your prediction is?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, you know, I think I'd have to go with the home team here, something in the neighborhood of 20-17. You know, the obviously turnovers and those types of deals are always the X factor. And, you know, I guess you could say this is Washington's week based on how they've gone this year every other week that they have played. You know, they've played good. You know, maybe that happens this week, but the Chargers are coming off a loss. I just to the Giants, no less. I figure they find a way. But if that offensive tackle situation is, you know, as bleak as it could be, maybe that's where, again, Washington sneaks in. But overall, I'm going to go with the Chargers. And I think the note for me is, again, perception versus reality. If they lose, Washington is under 500 for the first time since week one last year. We have not had to talk about this team. Again, it's only week five and all that, but we haven't had to talk about them in that way, right? So
I didn't think about that, but you're right. They started out 4-1 before they lost to Baltimore, got to 7-2. And 2-3 would be, you know, based on where we were a month ago, would be very disappointing. But there would be reasons for it, and the reason number one would start, it happens when, you know, you have a lot of key injuries in a season. Plenty of time to turn it around, though. All right, you got the Chargers in a close one.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people might think the line's smelly, so I hear that.
Yeah, it does. Very much so. Very much so.
But, so there's that. I acknowledge it. But just based on the facts on the ground, that I'd go the Chargers by a little bit, yeah.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standig, everybody, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. When we come back, smell test for the week. Five consecutive winning weeks to start off 2025-2026. The picks next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
From Xander. Xander writes, "Can't win with you, Sheehan. He talks too much. You have something to say. If he didn't talk enough, you'd have something to say. ST blank you." Thank you for that, Xander. He's referring to my conversation with Ben about Joe Witt Jr.'s press conference yesterday. Actually, Xander, you're 100% wrong. As a fan of the teams that I'm a fan of, I much prefer when they say the least amount possible in these things. That's been pretty consistent for a long period of time. So that's not true. But yes, if you heard in my tone in what I said to Ben, trying to elicit in an answer from Ben, if he had an impression, I went back after the show yesterday and I watched Cliff and I watched Joe in their weekly coordinator press conferences. And Joe Witt Jr.'s answers were War and Peace length. I mean, they were minutes, 4, 5, 6 minutes, some of them. And I think that from my standpoint, he did a great job of explaining everything that happened on Sunday against Atlanta. But I think typically my experience, for whatever it's worth, probably your experience, maybe it's different. When somebody's in that position, kind of under the gun, you know, after a really poor performance, which, by the way, felt at least like some of it was about coaching with all of the miscommunication for the second time this year. I think when you go to great lengths to over-answer and to provide so much detail, and every detail is about the players not executing what was coached, that comes off a little bit defensive to me. It does, and it did yesterday in watching it. I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them, and hopefully it's a better performance. You can't get away with consistently it's everybody else if it continues to happen week in and week out. And by the way, like I said to Ben, he may be right. I'm not disputing the fact that what he's explaining isn't exactly what happened, that this was player breakdown everywhere, players putting capes on, trying to be Superman in too many situations. I'm not suggesting that he's wrong. What I am suggesting is, even if he's right, answering that week in and week out, that it's more about them, it's dangerous. Let's get to my smell test. That's not been dangerous. 10-6-1 last week, 5 consecutive winning weeks to open up the NFL college 2025-2026 season, hitting at 61% through the first 5 weeks of the year. I don't love the card. I thought I was going to like it more. I thought I was going to like Louisville and have Louisville. I thought I was going to have Alabama tomorrow. I don't have any of those teams. There's just too much mixed action, public-wise and sharp-wise. There's only 2 college games that really fit, the smell test criteria, which is looking for the games where everybody's convinced the line is wrong and that the bookmakers have screwed it up and they're all on one side and I just go the other way. That combined with, as I've said many times over the years, and I do have sources. I have information offshore from various people that I am close to that provide me with, these are the sides we are going to need. And these are the sides we are going to need. And add to that, some of our sharpest bettors are on those sides too. So there are only two games for me that really fit that this week. Cincinnati, I gave them out last week, catching points against Kansas, and they won the game outright. They're playing 14th-ranked undefeated Iowa State at home. And Cincinnati's favored. Like, this is one of those games where a lot of, you know, average public, John Q public bettors will look at it and say, wait a minute, how is number 14 in the country undefeated an underdog against Cincinnati? You know, a team that lost to Nebraska early in the year and they won last week, but their only wins other than last week against Kansas are against Northwest State and Bowling Green. Give me Cincinnati. And I'll lay the point because that one is the definition of smell test criteria. The team that's undefeated and ranked 14th is an underdog against the team that has a loss and isn't ranked. Let's go to Saturday night. One of the biggest games of the day, Florida State at home against Miami, coming off a bye. Florida State, I gave out Virginia last week and said I think Virginia can win this game outright, and they did, 46-38 in overtime. Florida State gets the Canes. This is, you know, an October Miami-Florida State game that means a lot. And we know how that used to go in the 90s, wide right, wide left. But I like Florida State catching a perceived short number. Miami is favored by 4 in this game on the road. They're coming off that game against Florida in which it was ugly because Florida's really good defensively, very good defensively. I really like Miami. They're one of my favorite teams to watch this year. I think they've got a chance to win the national championship. They are so good in the trenches. Unbelievable offensive line. They can run it. They can throw it. Carson Beck has been outstanding. But that's why I like Florida State in the smell test. They're catching off of a loss a very short number, and the public is pounding the Canes, laying the 4. I'll take the Noles plus the 4. So just 2 college games. Let's go to Sunday, where there were a bunch of games. I did almost give out San Francisco last night. I would have given them out had the number stayed at 6.5, 7, but it jumped with all of the injury news and with Brock Purdy being ruled out, and I stayed off of it. Where's my first game? Jets catching 2.5. I'll buy the half point at home against the Cowboys. The Cowboys offense is a favorite of the, you know, NFL fan right now. And the Cowboys are typically a majorly public bet team anyway. There are some big, you know, sizable public versus non-public sides. This is one of them. Cowboys laying 2.5. The Jets coming off a Monday night game. So a short week, but I'm going to take the Jets at home. I think they can run the football. I think they can possess the football, and I'll buy the half point and take the Jets at home plus 3. You got the Giants. Now, you're saying that that's 1.5. I'm still seeing 2s and 2.5s. I'm looking at this.
I'm pulling up my source that I use. I'm going to look at it right now just so I can give, if I need to put a hand up.
I mean, I'd rather give out the Saints at -1.5.
I'm seeing -1.5 on DraftKings Sportsbook. I see it at -2 in other books. But FanDuel and DraftKings,
I'm seeing 1.5 in one spot. I'm seeing a lot of 2s and 2.5s. I'm not gonna I'm not going to take a 1.5 when it's only out there in one spot. I'll take the Saints and lay the 2. We'll split the difference on that because there are some 2s out there. But the Giants, off of their dominating defensive performance against the Chargers on Sunday, along with the perception that, hey, they're much better with Jackson Dart. And Dart was fine as a runner, more so as than a passer. The Saints were close last week in Buffalo. The public likes the Giants. I like the Saints in the Superdome to get their first win of the year, laying the 2. Again, there's the perception looking at this game that the wrong team is favored. Let's go to the 4 o'clock window and our game. I've said this going back to Sunday. I knew when I saw 2.5, 3, that the public would load up on the Chargers with Washington being injured and the Chargers coming off a loss. And it's true. Right now, college or pro, the Chargers are one of the 3 or 4 most bet teams this weekend. On that alone, you know who I'm going to be on. I'm on our team plus the 3. Over the years, I'm in the low 60% percentile on games involving Washington, whether it's going against them or with them. I had last week Atlanta laying the 2, and I've got our team this week plus the 3. Let's go to Sunday Night Football. This is a painful one for me because I talked about earlier with Max, Jake Browning on Monday night was horrendous. I mean, really bad. And the Bengals actually looked like a team that was starting to bail a little bit. Jamar Chase, his performance Monday night in Denver was embarrassing. He looked like the diva wide receiver who had given up and was like, if you can't get me the football, if we can't protect, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm done. But Detroit is the second most bet public team of this upcoming weekend after the Chargers. And so on that alone, I'll take the Bengals plus the 10.5. They're at home. You know, I mentioned these games after teams play Cleveland. They're a little bit beat up. They're a little bit slow to the punch. Detroit played Cleveland last week. I've got 2 teams off of Monday Night Football. I don't feel good about that, but I'll take Cincinnati plus the 10.5. Go to Monday night. The Chiefs, after their performance against the Ravens, are a public darling once again. Jacksonville beat the 49ers. They needed a bunch of turnovers to get that done. They're getting 3.5. I'll take the 3.5 and the Jags at home on Monday night. There were a couple of other games. Like, I kind of like the Broncos. I kind of like the Panthers on Sunday. And in college, man, I really wanted to pull the trigger on Bama. That should be a really interesting game, Bama and Vandy. But there's sharp action on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, if they were to pull off the upset, Max, Sunday in Tuscaloosa, I think everybody would then say they are a legitimate and maybe even a likely playoff team. You know, I've talked a lot about Maryland football over the years. It's like, you know, they're never going to compete for the highest echelons of the sport, but they could have a really good season, a 9-10 win season here or there. But with the 12-team playoff, Indiana last year, and we'll get another surprise Power 4 team in the playoff again this year. Anything's possible. Put it this way, if Maryland wins tomorrow 5-0 with their schedule, they could be a team that people start to talk about in the Big Ten. I don't love the Terps tomorrow, by the way, plus the number. I like them a little bit, but don't love them. All right, recapping. Cincinnati minus 1 tomorrow. Florida State plus 4 tomorrow night. Sunday, the Jets plus 3. The Saints minus 2. Washington plus 3. And the Bengals plus 10.5. Jacksonville plus 3.5 on Monday Night Football. All right, when we come back, prediction time. Final score of Sunday's game with a footnote, a prediction on the game in addition to the score. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Max and I will have our picks, our footnotes. We want yours as well when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Back in a moment.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. Here's what's happening. A little bit of an injury update for the Washington Commanders. They traveled to L.A. yesterday, but a few players did not make the trip. Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, and Sam Cosmi all did not travel with the team and have been ruled out for Sunday. Players still in question are Deebo Samuel, who did not practice with a heel injury. Mikey Sainer still did not practice with a knee injury. Daron Payne, Ollie Cahoe, and Percy Butler all limited in practice this week. Some full participants were Dorrance Armstrong and Nick Ballore yesterday. They should be ready to go for Sunday, barring any setbacks. Yesterday, MLB Elimination Day across the MLB postseason. The Tigers, they double up the Guardians 6-3. They'll move on to face the Mariners. The Cubs win over the Padres by score 3-1. They'll draw the matchup versus Milwaukee Brewers. And the Yankees, they beat the Red Sox 4-0. They'll take on the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALDS. Dodgers, they moved on the other day over the Reds. They'll go up against the Philadelphia Phillies. Some hockey, the Caps, they fall for the first time in the preseason to the Boston Bruins by score of 3-1. Ryan Leonard with the lone bright spot for the Caps. Charlie Lindgren in net last night, saving 25 of 27 shots. But man, he'd like to have that second goal back, I'm sure. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There we go. There we go. Big game Sunday. Seriously. Ben just reminding me that if they were to lose, it'd be the first time they've had a losing record since, you know, the Rivera-Sam Howell experiment at the end of 2023. Started off fast last year, kept going fast, and ended pretty quickly. Until it didn't against Philadelphia, but that was in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, excited about Sunday and the opportunity. I really have felt all week long like this is one they're going to get. I mean, I've said this a million times. For me, I'm always, you know, much more focused on, as a better of the sport, the way I think in terms of handicapping games. And the world is on the Chargers, which is why I liked Washington right from the jump. But from an analysis standpoint, they're getting Superman back. You want to talk about Joe Witt Jr. putting capes on? He put a cape on a ton of games last year. And Cliff Kingsbury saying yesterday that, you know, we didn't want to put him out there until he can be Jaden, and that's what he's going to be, and that's how he's going to play. I'm trusting Cliff Kingsbury that we're going to get Jaden Daniels full 100% ready to roll Sunday against the Chargers. I think there are a lot of ways Washington can be successful offensively, even without the receivers that they won't have in the game. Terry, Noah. I think it's crucial that they have Debo. Hopefully Debo is a go. If he isn't, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Chargers do crowd the line of scrimmage more than they have in their first four games and say, go ahead and beat us with Chris Moore, with Luka McCaffrey, with the rookie Jalen Lane. Let's see it, because we're pretty good defensively. And if we shut down your ability to run the football, we don't think you can do it. Now, if Debo's there, not that he's a deep threat, but there are just so many things they can do. I think they can run the football Sunday. I think they can possess it. Defensively, I'm not confident about anything. Why would I be? But more confident this week against an offensive line that's banged up. This has been their two formulas for defensive success so far this year against the Giants and the Raiders. An offensive line that wasn't good and was injured week one and week three. Now, what's behind that offensive line is much different than what the Giants had or what the Raiders had in Justin Herbert and Omarion Hampton and all three of their receivers. By the way, just better coaching, really, on offense with Greg Roman and with Jim Harbaugh at the helm. But I like Washington. I think it's a game they win the time of possession. I think they score on nine drives, 10 drives. I think they get enough stops. And I think Jaden, late in the game, in a tie game, drives him down the field and gets Matt Gay in range for not a long field goal, a 37-yarder at the gun to win it 27-24. Did I come up with that just randomly? No. They haven't won in San Diego against the Chargers. They haven't won on the road against the Chargers since 86. But they beat them in 83 on Monday Night Football when the Chargers turned the ball over 8 times. But they won the game 27-24 on a Mark Mosley 37-yard field goal at the gun. Can you imagine a team turning the ball over 8 times in today's game? Like, it's rare when you see a team turn the ball over 3 or 4 times. Man, the protection of the football was not a priority in the 70s and in the 80s. Some odd known reason. Anyway, 27-24, Jaden has a big return and leads him down the field for a walk-off field goal. Max, what do you got?
All right, so I think in this game, pass rush is going to be, I mean, paramount just because the Chargers' offensive line is paper thin. Got to get Herbert off kilter. Got to make him, muddy up that field. I think Joe Witt's got to disguise some coverages and just kind of confuse Justin Herbert at the line, make him think for that little fraction of a second longer, because that, I think, is going to be key on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side, I think the rushing attack is going to be absolutely paramount. I mean, the Chargers, they allow 4.5 yards a carry. I think this is going to be a big day for Bill. I think he's going to break a big one. My bold prediction for this game is Bill Merritt, 100-plus yards and a touchdown. I think he's going to break off a big one, like an 80-yard run or something crazy. I got Washington winning this one 31-28.
There we go. It was Bill. Then it was Bill Merritt. I'm just starting to say Kroski Merritt. I just think that is less cumbersome. We're just going to go with Kroski Merritt for me. Anyway. If you want to weigh in, we've got a line or two open. Prediction with a footnote. Chris in Maryland, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Kev?
Good, Chris.
I always like to say I'm a Falcons fan, so I don't have, no biased opinions or anything. So I had Commanders winning 27-24 with a late field goal.
That's my score.
I know when I was listening to it, I was like, he must have had my cheat sheet. and then some of your smell test picks was the same picks I had. I had the Saints outright winning. Right. But but and also I had Jets winning. But anyway, but I think on a side note, I know a lot of people talking about how the Chargers coming off a defeat, but guess what? I think the Commanders going to be fueled by Jane in return, and I think order to, you know, you got to get Herbert off the pocket. Giants only sacked him twice last week, but they hit him 13 times. So I really think the defensive line and my game ball will go to Frankie Luby this game. I think he's going to have about two sacks this week in a strip sack. So 27-24 Commanders.
Luvu played well last week. Luvu's played well this year, even though it doesn't kind of show up statistically. But I think once again, like last year, if it's not Luvu, it would be Dorrance Armstrong. But I think Luvu is still their best kind of pound-for-pound defensive player on the team. By the way, Max, I just saw this. Did you see Braylon Allen's done for 8 to 12 weeks with the Jets?
Man, that's tough, man. For the rushing attack that they had, that 1-2 punch with Breece Hall, that's going to be a big blow for them.
Yeah, I'm not changing my Jets pick. I'm not going to do that. But interesting. Well, I mean, they still have some weapons back there, including Breece Hall. All right, that's it. Back on Monday, we'll be recapping, obviously, what happens on Sunday. I do want you to know that all of our NFL conversation on the show is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the baseball. I'm looking forward to watching Ohtani pitch tomorrow against the Phils. Back on Monday, Chris is next.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.